Live and unedited, Proteus. Welcome to this week's Amp Radio. This is another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California, and of course, Brantford, Ontario, Canada. Let's meet the host, guys. The week that was UFC 214, Cormier versus Jones 2, held last night, Proteus, July 29th at the Honda Center Fetch in Anaheim, California. Shout out, of course, to the MMAJA, which we're very proud to be a part of. Let's meet the host, Fighty, out of Pam's Face.
All right, Tony, did you slow
down? That went well, Proteus. I actually did, believe it or not. Not joking. How about that? I literally ate it. I did my version of, unfortunately, DC, Daniel Cormier, and I literally leaned back on the chair, guys, and ate it. Of course, you will not hear that on the post, but I literally ate it, Proteus. Son of a gun. All right, here we go. Hit the music.
Good afternoon, Tony. How are you doing this afternoon?
I am falling up and getting back up, just like Tanya Evinger, our friend to the show, and of course, my favorite, DC Daniel Cormier. I may not have the squeaky chair that Dave Madden has, Proteus, but I definitely have the chair that drops me to the floor faster than I can say, there goes Jason Knight. Ooh, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Crickets on that one.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's get into this. Yeah, I literally fell. Isn't that funny? I literally leaned on the chair and ate it.
Good. Poor guy.
UFC 214, Cormier versus Jones 2. Total gate on this, Proteus, 2.4 million. Total attendance, 16,600, roughly 16,610, but we'll just say 16 and a half. How about that? And all the stars were out. You name it, you got it. Fight bonuses awarded. Fight of the night, Brian Ortega versus Renato Moicano. You know what? I don't disagree with that one. There were a lot of fights that actually could have been fight of the night. Performance of the night, Bones Jones. And you know what? We have to start giving this guy even more credit than we already do, Proteus. Volkan Ozdemir. The prelim cards, prelims fight card, UFC fight pass card. See, I already have, I'm already concussed just from this chair alone, Proteus, and I didn't even spar today. To the lightweight we go, Drew Dober, legs of steel, right? Or tree trunks, as Joe Rogan, I think, called him. Defeats Josh Berkman. Unfortunately, Josh Berkman on a really bad run, Proteus. Four straight losses before he beat KJ Nunes. He had basically three straight losses. No contest to Hector Lombard, who was basically overturned, right? And then two straight losses there. Boy, his career has really gone, unfortunately, down south.
Yeah.
Then we went, of course, Jared Brooks defeating our guy, Tough House veteran Eric Shelton via split decision. Women's strawweight, we went Alexandra Albu, who has the back of a weightlifter, defeated Kylan Curran. Boy, that's talk about losses, Proteus. Listen, here's a nod. Our boys, John Morgan and Cold Coffee, but three straight losses. One has won one out of her last six fights in the UFC,
yeah.
Proteus.
Not going well for her in the UFC, unfortunately. You know, very talented girl, but just hasn't been able to put it together in the UFC. I don't know. Maybe it's just the time of when she came into the UFC that the competition just happened to be that much tougher all at once. I don't know what the problem is, Tony, but, you know, we thought she was an aspiring prospect, but hasn't been able to put it together.
And still may be, right? But, boy, I mean, I don't think she's been clearly overmatched, but certainly hasn't delivered on what we thought would be a promising career thus far, but she still has a long ways to go. That's for sure. Proteus, let's scoot over to the preliminary FXX cards, which may have caused me to take the dive off this chair here. Calvin, right, that was embarrassing. Calvin Kattar defeats Andre Touchy Feely, and, you know, I didn't know who Kattar was prior to this fight. But boy, I'll tell you, this guy, 29 years young, fights from Mach in Boston, 5'11", 145, 17-2. Proteus quietly, this CS fighter, gosh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight wins. Boy, I'll tell you, he might have a future here, something that we may not know. Brian Ortega, your boy, T-City, defeated Renato Moicano. And I think this was the fight of the night. Proteus, clearly this was two guys standing literally toe-to-toe, throwing. And then out of nowhere, the guillotine choke. Gosh, is Brian Ortega better than we think, Proteus?
Oh, he's not better than I think. He finished that fight so quickly when it went to the ground. It was incredible. I mean, watching it live, we weren't sure that choke was in tight until we saw the shot of the other side of the two fighters. And man, that thing was in so tight and it was in so quick. I think this guy's just really great, because everybody in the room when I was watching this fight was on Moicano. But I said, Ortega's going to bring this one down, man. He's the better guy on the ground. And boom, there it is.
And let's get a little bit into where you were, because clearly you were with other junkies. Tell us about when you say we, obviously it's not you and your significant other. So where were you last night?
Yeah, and I do apologize. I went on and on a little bit at the end of Proteus's primetime show on Friday night talking about my plans. But it was just a kind of intimate kind of junkie gathering. It was a mini junkie gathering. It was just myself and Josh from Tilsonburg. I traveled from where I live to where Josh lives, because we live fairly close together, and stayed with him and his wife, and I appreciate their hospitality for letting me stay over the night. But we went to another gentleman that we met at UFC 206 in Toronto, Josh's friend, whose name is Andy. We went over to Andy's house and we watched the fights there. Awesome setup, Andy, by the way. So good on you. And we just had a good night, and it just didn't feel right to get the video camera out and start live streaming it. It just was, you know, kind of an intimate experience with just hanging with some other junkies. So really good time. Appreciate it.
Honestly, I don't even know how you guys can tweet and watch the fights at the same time, let alone film and all that other stuff. So kudos to the professionals that can. I can't do that. But obviously good time had indeed with Josh and Andy. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And of course, their friends and Josh's brother was there as well. So like I said, it was a very, small, I felt like I was being invited to, their local hangout, They hang out there, and I was just the intruder. And I was just like, okay, I'm the visitor. I'm not going to set up cameras and get into your guys' lives. So yeah, even though they said they wanted to, but I said, you know what, let's just hang out.
I think you did the right thing. And so, I'm not one to bury the lead. So I got to run with whatever we're talking about right now. But let's talk about that, because you were there live with how many people would you say you were in next to?
There was five of us.
So five, and these are all either junkies or definitely, would you say they're all MMA junkies or at least MMA enthusiasts, would you say?
I would say four of the five of us were, yeah, absolutely. The conversation that went around that room during this fight was incredible. I mean, it's, we said this before on the show, Tony, we get together with like-minded people and the conversation just goes. I mean, I wish I had a camera on it, because it was just knowledgeable people and people who were just interested in speaking about the sport, and it was a good night, man. I had a good time.
It would have been nice to see, to get firsthand of, my wife and I always watch the fights alone, but it would have been nice to get sort of a feedback on the night that was, because there were a lot of exciting fights. I want to talk about this, but let's finish off here. Ortega defeats Moicano via guillotine. Aljo defeated Henan Burrell via unanimous decision. And I'm not sure if it was Aljo looking great or Henan just you know, aging a bit and just a lot of fights on that small frame, Proteus. And then of course, another fight that was amazing to me, even though it was short lived, and I think I may have called this one too, is Ricardo Lamas defeats Jason Knight via TKO in the first round. What you got, Proteus? Anything on these fights?
Yeah, absolutely. The Sterling fight, Sterling blew my mind in this fight. I mean, we've been hearing for a long period of time that, you know, he looks really good in the gym, but he hasn't been able to put what he can do in the gym into play when he's in the octagon under the bright lights. And I thought it was an excellent performance. The thing that I kept on saying was, wow, I did not expect this from Aljamain Sterling. I mean, I like Aljamain Sterling, but, you know, I mean, he really, like you said, put something down on Barão. And I'm not sure if Barão is finished. I just think he needs to stay up at 45s or maybe even go to 55, because that guy looks like he's got a big frame. But impressive win by Sterling. The Llama looked incredible. I mean, we did mention on Wednesday's hashtag Smack My Picks Up show that, you know, myself, I think Marco and you went with Lamas. We just thought that Lamas was the more talented fighter, and we saw that happen. I mean, Knight probably learned a learning lesson here with this loss. I don't think his stock went down, and he's still a rising prospect. It was just too much too fast.
Yeah, that's the Sean Shelby special, as we spoke about on Wednesday show, Smack My Picks Up. So Ricardo Lamas defeating Jason Knight. Just out of curiosity, Pro, because you were with several people watching that prelim, the FXX card, which fight got the biggest pop out of the group from the prelims?
I think the first two fights of the night, because we just had turned it on, and Josh was like dying to watch fights. You know what I mean? It would kill them that we missed this Facebook prelims, but we had a swim, and we had, you know, a couple of drinks and got dinner sorted out. So we didn't get to the early prelims, but the first two fights on the prelims, because of course, Qatar being such a great surprise out of nowhere for all of us. I mean, that's the way you make your USC debut. You know what I mean? That's how you do it.
Indeed.
And then of course, indeed.
That's your line.
Ortega, you know, that Ortega fight was also like, we were sitting outside, and I felt bad because we kept doing the Joe Rogan all over the place, and his parents, Andy's parents, he lives in an apartment underneath them, and I was like, felt bad for them because we kept on going,
oh man, see, that would have been, come on, we missed that opportunity. There's nothing like watching a bunch of guys aren't getting you know, like you said, doing the Roganisms, right? The and all that stuff. That would have been great. Let's talk about, let's go to the main card, because I'll tell you, everyone, and you know, Dana White is one, you know, they always oversell sometimes fights, and they talk about, you know, how this is the fight card of the year, et cetera. But this one did not disappoint. There's no doubt about it. Let's get into it. To the main card we go, Proteus, the light heavyweight, we go Volkan Ozdemir, another person that I continue to sell short, defeats Jimmy Manuwa. And I just thought it was going to be one of those things where the young guy just meets someone that's not afraid of the limelight. They're not, they're obviously being in Southern California, where you're going to get a lot of stars. And I forgot who it was, but someone mentioned, of course, the lights being on, right? The heavy lights being on you. And I thought that Ozdemir would basically shrink. That's not what happened, Proteus. As a matter of fact, the reverse. Volkan Ozdemir, this guy keeps getting better and better, Proteus.
Are you kidding me? I mean, we said it on Wednesday's show, Tony. If I said it. If Volkan is able to do to Jimmy Manuwa what he did in his previous fight with Misha Sirkunov, this guy needs to be fast-tracked to the title. And I have absolutely no problem with seeing him fight for the title in his next appearance. He was fighting the fighter who was brought on the card to fill in if either John Jones or Daniel Cormier fell out of the fight. So that person, Jimmy Manawa, would have gotten a title shot had one of the two guys fallen out. And not only did Volkov destroy him, he did it in the first round. Same way. I mean, it took him a little bit longer to get rid of Jimmy Manawa because he did a little bit more body work. But, man, one of the guys went outside to have a cigarette, and by the time he came back in, he was like, "How's the fight?" I said, "It's over. You missed it." I mean, it was just like it was over like in a blink of an eye. It was great. It was a wonderful way to start off.
42 seconds into the first.
Yeah. A wonderful way to start off a pay-per-view. That's what you want right there, and you give that guy a title shot. I'm ready to see him. I'd like to see if he's ready for John Jones.
I definitely don't think he's ready for John Jones, but I say, you know what? He's earned it, right? I mean, coming out of nowhere, Proteus, I think John Jones even said the Russian guy, and my wife and I looked at each other, and I'm like, is he talking about Ozdemir? I mean, heck. This Swedish, Russian, whatever John Jones wants to call him, this guy has now quietly definitely made a name out of himself. And most importantly, he's impressed Dana White, who he's a guy that you need to impress, right? He's not the matchmaker, but believe me, he is. Volkan Ozdemir defeats Jimmy Manawa, TKO first round, 42 seconds into the fight. Let's go to another fight that did not disappoint. Didn't go the way I thought it would go, Proteus, but definitely did not disappoint to me. I'm curious to know what you and the boys thought, but to the welterweight we went. Robbie Lawler defeats Cowboy Cerrone via unanimous decision, and I think it was unanimous. Could have been two rounds to one, because I think Lawler definitely took the second round off, but nonetheless, definitely unanimous decision. Proteus, what say you? Lawler defeats Cowboy Cerrone.
Yeah, excuse me. It was interesting because in the room, people were saying, "Oh my goodness, Robbie Lawler's coming out with a vengeance." And I said, "Well, obviously, because Donald Cerrone is a notoriously slow starter, and I figured that Robbie Lawler was going to try and take advantage of that slow start." But I mean, he really, he being Robbie Lawler, really went out there and exhausted himself, and we saw that paying dividends, near the end of the first. I think that's when Cowboy Cerrone got the takedown. And then in the second round, Cowboy just dominated that round. I mean, because as you said, Robbie took that round off. I think it came down to how you thought or scored the punishment that Robbie Lawler was handing out, as opposed to the punishment that Donald Cerrone was handing out. Because as you said, Tony, it did not disappoint. I mean, it didn't go the way you thought it was going to go. It didn't go the way I thought it was going to go, but it still was an entertaining fight. They were so very evenly matched. You know what I mean? And Donald Cerrone has the heart getting out of that first round. And of course, if we're going to give points for people taking people down, and that's how people are winning fights, and you've got to give Donald Cerrone that first round as well. And that's what I was thinking on the night. And then, of course, the second round comes, Donald Cerrone dominates. And then the third round, it was a very, very close fight, very, very close third round. But in the room, Tony, I'm going to be honest, we were very pro Donald Cerrone.
Yeah, and who can't be pro Donald Cerrone, right? I mean, the guy's just a likable guy, especially when he comes out after a tough first round and says, "Yeah, let's do this. Let's give the people a show."
Sure.
But nonetheless, I do think, in my opinion, I think the right guy won it. Did you guys feel the same way too?
No, absolutely not. That's what I was trying to say. I mean, we thought that the Cowboy was getting, just like the live audience, we thought that Cowboy and Cerrone did enough to win that fight. But as I said, very, very close fight. I wasn't upset that Robbie Lawler won. You know what I mean? I mean, it was that close. It could go either way. So it's not a rubber.
So you guys gave Cerrone the same 29-28, 29-28, this, but flipping it over to the Cerrone side, correct? Two rounds to one for Cerrone, correct?
I could even give an argument for all three rounds for Donald Cerrone, to be honest.
Wow. All right. All
Even
right. So
with that,
definitely, yeah.
even with that barrage from Robbie Lawler in the at the beginning of the first, with that takedown that Donald Cerrone got in the first, leading into the second where he dominated so hard, and then that close third round. So, I mean, yeah. But again, it was a very, very close fight against two guys who were very, very evenly matched. And we've talked about this before on the show, Tony, that we're seeing a lot of that happen, especially in these, higher fights, the pay-per-views or the main events of Fox Sports, either Big Fox or Fox Sports One. We're seeing a lot of really evenly matched guys, and I thought this fight here was one of those fights.
Yeah, and definitely not an FXX card. So yeah, interesting how
Oh
two
boy.
people in two different areas, right, saw it completely different. And we'll get into the
Yeah.
FXX and what. Anyway, thoughts on that? We'll
The
get into
fossil.
that right after we finish the card. Kind of. I mean, I thought, well, we can get into this. Let's finish off the main card.
Sure.
Chris Cyborg defeats friend to the show Tonya Evinger. TKO knees, and we all gave each other a mulligan on this one because we were definitely biased. We were definitely pro Evinger after she came on the show, and I'm still pro Evinger after because I think she handled herself like a professional and really did a nice job. Cyborg finishes Evinger via TKO in the third round. It says knees. I thought it was punches, but sure, you can go knees.
Yeah.
Proteus, what say you? Cyborg defeated Evinger via third round TKO.
Well, I can tell you, in the room that I was in, they was very pro Cyborg's gonna knock her out in the first, which I don't blame them for thinking. That's kind of Cyborg's MO. But
Right.
I think that Cyborg was very measured in her attack. She did not rush in there, and as I noted to the guys that I was sitting with, Josh from Tilsonburg, and of course Andy, his buddy, that Cyborg, yes, looks jacked, but she doesn't look j as jacked as she used to. You know what I mean? She's not looking like she's, a roid head anymore. Not to put her in that box, but she did look more natural. Yes, she's got a lot of muscle. She's clearly in excellent shape, but she looked very not, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, so I'm going to stop. Her body just looked smaller, is what I'm going to say. I was very, very
Yeah.
impressed with Evinger. Go ahead, Tony.
I agree with you, but go ahead. No, please finish with the Avenger talk.
Okay. I was very impressed with Evinger. She got rocked early, you know what I mean? And she was getting rocked often. And she was in there. She was still trying to impose her game. And she felt very bad about herself at the post-fight press conference. But I thought, you know what, man? You absorbed a lot of damage. You really did.
Yeah.
And you probably absorbed a lot of damage from one of the best, or maybe the best, women's mixed martial artists in the world today. So no shame in that game. And I'm glad to hear that she's got more fights, that she will be going to 135 where she belongs. I'm glad she had such a great performance because I thought it was, even though she was very down on herself that she didn't go 5 rounds. I thought Cyborg looked very, very improved. She looked like she's not cutting any corners anymore. You know what I mean, Tony? Because back in the day, you just thought, well, she's cutting corners. She's getting a little bit of extra help with the non-audit supplements, and it seems like that's where she's at now. And I do believe that she deserves for them to back up a truck of money for her because you saw all of the, press conference, the open workout. She's a very big popular person. People have been floating this around that she is actually the Mike Tyson of MMA, but I don't like doing that. I just think that she's very, very popular, and of course she's very popular because of the brand of violence she puts out. And I thought great performance by Tonya Evinger hanging in there, going 3 rounds. Like I said, the guys in the room didn't expect her to go 3 rounds. They were writing her off, and I thought she represented herself well, like I said she would on previous shows. So great work by Evinger. Let's see what happens with Chris Cyborg on that belt, though. I mean, it could take forever for us to see her defend that. Although,
yeah,
Dana White did say that Holly Holm is interested in that fight.
I don't want to see that fight just because I like Holly Holm. Definitely, I think that's the next fight to have. Listen, there's no shame in Tanya Evinger's game. Here's the one thing. You know, looking at that fight, you know, when, and keep in mind, myself and my wife were watching it, you know, she seemed to think that Tanya Evinger was a bigger person than Chris Cyborg. Chris Cyborg definitely didn't look like the same Chris Cyborg, definitely didn't look like the Strikeforce Chris Cyborg. I thought she looked a little thin. I didn't think she looked as muscular. Definitely her training photos and everything she was posting on Instagram, I think she looked a lot buffer. But, you know, let's be fair as well, right? Because we're always the ones to bring up non-onnit supplements, et cetera. But Cyborg hasn't been busted in 6 years. I mean, to be fair, sure, right? And if we want to be clear a little bit more, we can say, listen, it's kind of like when we talk about the baseball days, how, you know, Jose Canseco or Barry Bonds or all the other Bay Area guys, Mark McGuire, gosh, they're all Bay Area guys. Good Lord. But how all these guys were on steroids, and me being a huge cycling guy, right? Everyone rips on Lance Armstrong, who was on steroids. Guess what? Everyone was on steroids. Everyone was juicing. So if everyone is juicing and you're still good, that means you just basically level the playing field. Now, it's tough to say everyone was juicing, but certainly a lot of people were juicing. Same thing could be said about the Strikeforce days or the, you know, the Elite XC days or Pride, et cetera. A lot of people were juicing, Proteus. So we don't know who was and who wasn't. We know who's been busted and who hasn't been busted, right? But certainly I think Chris Cyborg deserves her kudos for having an illustrious career and maybe putting, you know, the cherry on the top. Again, like you said, we don't know what's going to happen to this division. We don't even know if this division, all full of four people, right, will exist in October when her contract's up. But the no shame in Tanya Evinger's game. She fought as well as she could. And she certainly looked better than most of the people that fight against Cyborg. So kudos to her for hanging in there and being, like you said, Proteus, she was tough on herself, but she fought well. I'm sorry, for anyone that fights Cyborg is going to look a lot worse, including Holly Holm, I'm sorry to say, but maybe. And I'm a big fan of Cyborg, but maybe, who knows, right? But definitely Chris Cyborg defeats Friend to the Show Tanya Evinger via TKO, and no shame in that game. Evinger showed to be herself to be a professional and showed a lot of class at the end too. So kudos to her. Let's move up to the fight that was, or maybe the fight that shouldn't have been. And there's two ways to look at this, Proteus. One could look at a smart fight for Woodley. One could look at it as Woodley just doing enough to get by, doing his worst GSP impression. But Tyron Woodley defeats Damian Maia via unanimous decision all five rounds, which I didn't think this would go. I thought Damian was going to somehow tap out Woodley quick enough, because I think Woodley's a bad fighter, but that's just the way it's been lately. What say you, Proteus? Woodley defeats Maia.
Well, I tell you what, within the first couple of seconds of the first round, I was very, very scared that this fight was going to end in the first round. Damian Maia, you know, goes for a takedown and then comes up with, you know, where the F did his eye go? You know what I mean? Nobody in the room noticed what happened to Damian Maia, you know, how he got this particular contusion over his eye. We thought he got poked. We did. We thought he got poked or he got gouged or something like that. But he didn't. I guess it was an uppercut. I don't know if we've ever seen whether or not that was actually true, but anyways, moving along. It does take two to tango, Tony. This particular fight, when it got to the third round, you know, we were blaming it on Tyron Woodley as well. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, man, you can finish this fight. You could explode. Yes, you're having some problems with your one big, overhand left or overhand right. I can't remember what it was that he was saying that in the post-fight press conference that his one of his shoulders, anyways, kept popping out.
I think it was an overhand right. Big, I think you're right. Yeah.
Right. He did throw it a couple of times though, but again, he's saying that he was damaged, so I can understand that. But I mean, he knows how to wrestle. He just didn't want to put anything online. You know what I mean? He didn't want to take any risks. And that's how the whole room was. It kind of turned against him and became, when Damian Maia is the aggressor and starts actually landing on you in the fourth with his boxing, you're not really doing much. I mean, he did piece him up. He got his shots in from the distance. He was counter-striking, but he really didn't do anything. I mean, yeah. And another point of conversation that came up was at least GSP would try and take you down and try and dominate you on the ground and impose his game. Tyron didn't do that. He was just stopping takedowns. I mean, I understand Dana's frustration with this as well. I mean, I understand where Tyron's coming from as well, because he doesn't want to lose his title. He doesn't want to lose the money that he's got coming in, because there's a big difference if you're not the champion, as opposed to if you are the champion. However, if you are throwing the least, if you set a record, right, Tony, for the least amount of punches thrown in a UFC match ever in the whole existence of the company.
Yeah, not championship in a UFC match.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
So,
wow.
That's not a record that you want to take, great pride in, I think. Like I said, I understand in this particular example or this particular case, I understand Lord Dana's, very, very, hard stance on what Tyron Woodley did. And of course, we learned, Tony, that it lost him the GSP fight, which I don't believe was his in the first place. I think the way that it happened so fast after the performance was told us that that fight was always still going to happen. And Danny Austin had mentioned on our podcast that, if this fight gets made, there's going to be a huge backlash. And it was funny to hear him ask about it when Dana was up at the press conference and kind of taking the high road on that one, not kind of going at Dana at all, but I think that fight was always going to happen. I think Tyron needed to do something special and spectacular in order to get GSP, because GSP is one of those guys who's going to bring money in, and Tyron unfortunately is not at this moment.
Here's the thing though. Where does this go now? Because we've seen Tyron Woodley now he said four title defenses. It's basically three, but right. Or four title fights.
Yeah.
I think he said, obviously two against Thompson, where he was a little tentative in both. I thought he clearly won both. Obviously he destroys Lawler, but then the Damian Maia fight, which not very exciting, especially for someone that is an exciting fighter. Listen, there's no doubt about it. T Wood is a smart fighter. Make no doubts about it. Right. Whether he's the villain or whether he wants to be the villain or whether he's embracing the villain, that's another thing that we can get into. But now going forward, and listen, I like Dana White. I do. Sorry, I think he's a little difficult, clearly, but I think he does the best he can with the position that he's in. But I don't like him tearing down fighters in any way, whether he's right or not right. I just don't like that. Right? Do it behind closed doors or whatever. But clearly he was not a fan of T. Woodley's performance. Let it be known that he wasn't a fan of T. Woodley's performance. But going forward, is he in fact killing T. Woodley now for pay-per-view-wise? Because don't we know what we're going to get out of T. Wood going forward, Proteus?
No, I think that it's kind of one of those things where a coach or a manager of a team will – say something about their player, and that might spur them on to be better. I think that Tyron is very concerned about losing what he has, and he wanted to get that big fight against GSP because he thinks that he's the big man. You know, he thinks that GSP times two, you know, or GSP junior, shall we say. But he thinks that he's the superior fighter. And of course, GSP is going to draw numbers. Like I said earlier, he just is. The name it alone is going to draw numbers. And we know that the Empire is very interested in making as much money back as they can as fast as possible. Tyron Woodley versus GSP after this fight does not do that. I'm sorry. Nobody's paying attention to Tyron Woodley, which is unfortunate. Like you said, he's a very good fighter. He's a very technical fighter, but has laid down a bunch of very boring fights over the past, you know, 3.5 title defenses, as we say, Tony. Sorry, I got away from the original question. Do you want to pose it again, or did I answer it?
No, you answered it. I mean, it basically is he sellable, and I know that you got off on the GSP tangent, but listen, and maybe I'm to blame because I'm a GSP fan, even though he was, as Pam and I like to say, as we stole from Uriah Faber, a decisionator. But GSP, don't forget, bought Johnny Hendricks, the good Johnny Hendricks, right? The pre-barbecue Johnny Hendricks, as I like to say. He beat Nick Diaz, beat Carlos Condit, you know, Dan Hardy, BJ Penn, you know, some really top fighters at that point. I mean, his lone loss, what, out of nowhere to Matt Serra, right? I mean, actually, he has two losses, right? Matt Hughes, too, I forgot. And I hope Matt Hughes is doing well. But GSP, and seriously, you want to make sure that Matt Hughes is doing well, a legend. But GSP is, listen, I don't think GSP was afraid of anyone. I could be wrong, because there were certainly GSP critics out there. But I don't think GSP was afraid of anyone. I don't think, I think it's fair to say that I don't think Tyron is afraid of anyone. But certainly he's only looking for certain fights. And I'm sure he has a lot more to lose. But gosh, this whole thing, Proteus, of begging for fights and everyone trying to be, this is another conversation for another day, and we've had it numerous times, but people wanting to be Conor McGregor, there's only one McGregor, sorry. People always asking for the big fights, they're begging for bonuses, et cetera. Gosh, it's just, it's not very becoming of a champ or of anyone. Not that he was begging for fights or bonuses, but boy, just the whole thing is really, it's different, right, Pro? Or is it me?
No, it's totally different. But you know what, man? That's the way that the industry is going. And unfortunately, these guys, here's the thing. Let me restart. The reason that people don't like Tyron Woodley is that before he got his opportunity, he was the guy who was asking for his opportunity. Soon as he got his opportunity and he won, he said, fuck everybody below me. I want to make money. And he started asking for money fights. You just won the title. You just won it. You can't start asking for money fights. You can't. I'm sorry. The fans who have been watching this sport longer than fucking your buddy Conor McGregor. I'm getting a little excited. Let me calm down. The fans that have been watching and that pay for most of the people who pay for most of the pay-per-views on a consistent basis are watching the sport. We know what you're doing, Tyron. We know that you changed all of a sudden. And of course, he's not going to give anybody an opportunity. He just wants to make that money. I get it. It's fine. But you know what? You're doing it wrong. We all see what you're doing. Next for Tyron Woodley is Robbie Lawler. That rematch is going to be fucking incredible because hopefully Robbie Lawler will be in a better place. I think that even though Danny Austin was telling us that he was playing the role, I still believe that Robbie Lawler was just done with it. He just wanted to get that fight over. I mean, it got training. Then it gets postponed because Cerrone's sick, yada, yada, yada. That's the fight you make next, Tony. And you know what? We're going to watch it because we're interested in what Robbie Lawler does. As I mentioned on Wednesday, either Robbie Lawler or Donald Cerrone, whoever they match them up against in the future, we will watch.
Yeah, and I can't say I disagree with you, because We saw Lawler lose his belt, take a long hiatus, but we haven't seen him look bad since he lost the belt because he took a year off. And as a matter of fact, I thought he looked pretty darn good against Cowboy Cerrone. So yeah, you're right. That's the fight to make next. There's no doubt about it. T. Woodley certainly has changed his approach right before he got the belt. The next man up, the man that deserves it, should get the title fight. Meritocracy, right? And all of a sudden we don't know what we would do if we had that position. We can only say we think we would do the right things, but nobody knows, right, until you're placed into that. But yeah, the wishy-washiness, I don't know. I agree with John Morgan and Cold Coffee. I think he should just totally embrace being a heel and do that. But who the heck knows? Let's go into the light heavyweight we go, Proteus. Talk about being a heel and then a good guy. Daniel Cormier, unfortunately, loses to John Jones, who I'm not sure which John Jones. I'm not sure who John Jones really is because, if we want to talk about that, we can, because I think he's two different people. Maybe he really is two different people. Maybe it should be John Sybil Jones should be his name, right? But he defeats, unfortunately, my guy, Daniel Cormier. And gosh, I knew this was going to happen. I thought it was going to happen in the first, but I knew this was going to happen. I'm pretty sure I called a head kick of some kind. But DC, man, took it harder than I thought he would. I'm glad that John Jones showed a little bit of class, a lot of class, actually, to DC, whether he meant it or didn't mean it. But John Jones defeats Daniel Cormier via KO, head kick and punches in the third round, 301 into it, Proteus. What was the scene like where you were?
Well, surprisingly enough, Tony, a lot of people were showing their bias, kind of like Sam was doing on Wednesday, just because of exactly what you're saying. John Jones has been, you don't know who he is. I mean, but again, we're looking at a guy who has been in this industry for a very long time. And I remember, and it's been documented on other shows, I remember when John Jones won the title and Dana White said, all right, now John Jones is going to have the very, very difficult job of not being swayed by everybody wants to offer you everything. You know what I mean? This guy has been offered everything since he was in his early 20s. I get it. Hopefully now, like you said, Tony, he's turned the page. He's 30 years old now. His frontal cortex is 100% developed. He is now losing.
Look at you.
A surprising rate.
Look at you.
I just think it happens, man. Yeah, I just think it happens. I mean, I remember the change in my brain when my frontal cortex just got to – you know when it happens. And I think John Jones has gotten to that point. I think, as I was saying on Wednesday, he doesn't need any more embarrassment. He does have somebody there right by him making sure he says the right things. And I think that's good because he's kind of, like you said, a loose cannon. He's kind of two people. And like you could see that in the post-fight press conference. He kind of swayed away from this safe space John Jones and kind of told us who he was when he said he was still a crazy or a wild MF-er. Two different people are in there. Go ahead, Tony. What did you want to say?
How about the fact, Proteus, that he was wearing a plaid shirt and khakis for the press conference? Talk about, gosh, I didn't know if I was at Best Buy or I was at Google, but good Lord, it certainly looked different. Whatever you want to say about John Jones, and I said this, I think everyone said this in Smack My Picks Up, John Jones is by far the most talented, I'm not going to say the best, I'm going to say the most talented MMA fighter that's ever been in existence to date. Who knows who knows if he's matured? No one knows really John Jones. I'm not sure that John Jones knows John Jones. Like you said, I'm glad that he now has a handler of some kind, someone, a PR person or whomever she is, to sort of keep him on track. I'm frankly surprised that the great team, and I mean the great team, of Winklejohn and Jackson couldn't keep him in, because these are good people, Proteus, that couldn't keep him in check. Even like seeing someone like Holly Holm or someone like the Karate Hottie, classy people that I'm surprised, I'm surprised he hasn't been kept in check, but who knows? I mean, kudos to John Jones for being a champion and a dominant champion. My heart goes out to Daniel Cormier and his family, a pure class act. And John Jones, I think, was fair to say. John Jones, DC has been a class act. Let me ask you this, Proteus. What happens to DC going forward? I mean, I think this is now.
Hang on. Before we get into that, we didn't actually really cover the fight at all, Tony. We didn't actually say anything about the fight because the stories coming out of it are the fighters themselves. But listen, let's talk about this fight. Let's talk about how improved Daniel Cormier looked. And that's going to tie into my answer to the question that you just asked me. He looked like a guy who was focused. And the whole story on Sunday, when we did our show on Sunday, and when we did our show on Wednesday was, and even when I did my show on Friday, what's the story with Daniel Cormier in this weight cut? Well, you know what? He looked terrible on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday for the weigh-ins. I mean, we saw that embedded series where he's lying on the ground, just, waiting for his time to weigh in. And he looks like he's suffering. He looks like he's suffering immensely, can barely get up. And then this guy shows up on Saturday. Man, I was impressed. I'm not gonna lie. He looked like he had cardio. He was throwing bombs. I mean, John Jones absorbed a bunch of Daniel Cormier's shots in this fight. But the thing that impressed me the most and the thing that I kept having to take the guys back to is watch John Jones. Watch what he's doing. He spread out his attacks over all of Daniel Cormier's body, but did not once ever throw anything high with his kicks, with his legs, right? The whole thing. And I think Mike Bond for asking this question at the post-fight press conference, because he said, listen, you spread all of your shots out. Every shot that you threw was almost exactly identical. The body, the legs, he was spreading his attacks out so well, it was unbelievable. And that's not to say that Daniel Cormier, I just praised Daniel Cormier, right? I mean, you remember that, right? I was just talking about how great Daniel looked. And then the third round.
Yeah, you said
round,
he looked fantastic. He looked in shape. Yeah,
exactly. And he looked like he was doing it, man. And this is again another example of a very, very close fight. These two fighters have had two incredible fights. However, I think John was kind of playing with them. I mean, you could see the kind of, it was almost like lackadaisical. You know what I mean? From John Jones, it looked like he was getting into trouble every now and then, but just getting out of it again really easily and then just throwing what he wants with the oblique kicks. And then he throws that head kick out of nowhere, Holly Holm-esque. Man, and the replay of that, just watching the snot fly out of Daniel Cormier's nose and then the spit fly out of Daniel Cormier's mouth in the other direction was incredible. Now, this fight, in my opinion, Tony, Daniel Cormier got five hits too many. We counted them after the fight was over and on the replay. I said he took too many hits, and we counted them. And we all were in agreement. And just like Dana White said at the post-fight press conference, there were five too many hits there. And that was really surprising for Big John to have let happen, but I kind of understood why he did let it happen, because it was such a big fight, right, Tony? But another concern of mine in this fight was we really got to see a fighter in a bad way. They put that camera on Daniel Cormier really early. I mean, he had not recovered from that knockout and did not recover from that knockout for a long period of time. It was like 4 or 5 minutes, right, Tony? Did you feel uncomfortable about it as well?
Yeah, but apparently, if you agree, if you listen to the post-fight press conference where Dana White says, hey, listen, they weren't supposed to chat, that Joe Rogan basically
did
it. Right,
right. We haven't even gotten to that yet, though.
Yeah,
we haven't
sorry,
even
go
gotten
ahead.
To that
I'm
point
sorry.
Yet, Tony. We hadn't even gotten to that point yet where he's getting interviewed. The feed that we had was very, from the top-down camera look, and just watching him, he was kind of convulsing when he came to, and then he didn't know where he was. He didn't know what happened, and then he starts to pick a fight with Big John McCarthy, right? It was just a weird scene, man. I mean, we have not seen that a lot in MMA, but only when people really take too much damage. And I think that fight could have been stopped earlier. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that fight could have been stopped earlier. But go ahead.
Proteus, I think we have seen this. We haven't seen it a lot, but we certainly have seen it when someone gets knocked out, all of a sudden they wake up. Just like I woke up after the chair incident just a few minutes ago, right? You get up and you go, what the heck happened? You know, you have no idea. But on it, you know, I'm making fun of me obviously falling off a chair, but in all honesty, I mean, the guy gets knocked out. He wakes up, he has no clue what happened. I'm pretty sure that after he saw, or after he came to, or whenever he got his senses back, I'm pretty sure he went to John McCarthy and said, hey man, I apologize, you were right. I think, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. And was there a little bit of damage or perhaps a little too much damage? Yeah, but you know what? You can never get back. John McCarthy, I don't think has ever made a mistake. I'm sure he has, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
listen, right. I'm sure he has, right? But at the end of the day, he can literally say, listen, I gave DC every chance to recover.
Correct.
And he did not. Unlike, for example, what happened with Michael Chiesa, or where there's question. There was no question. He was out. He was out. So, and you know me, I'm a big DC apologist, fan, whatever you want to call it. But, well, let's get into it because you brought it up. We didn't even get into the interview part. Let's get into the interview part because I thought that was strange too, Julius.
Oh, very strange. Very, very strange. I mean, Joe Rogan, and shout out to Kazem, who's listening live right now, apparently, and saying that he thinks that Daniel Cormier got a little cocky, and then he got caught, didn't see that leg kick coming. Good point.
I agree.
Yeah, good point. But like you said, let's talk about what happened afterwards. You could see Dana White clearly having a very serious problem with Daniel Cormier. And of course, Daniel Cormier didn't know where he was. He didn't know what happened. He didn't know that, you know, he had taken five extra shots that he didn't need to take. He didn't know anything about what's going on. I mean, I think once John hit him with that leg and then he like pushed him to the ground. Did you see that? He just kind of like pushed Cormier over and then Cormier like fell down against the fence and boom, boom, boom. I think we could have. Yeah, I think that was done. Anyways, the interview process was weird because Joe Rogan was what, on the ground with with Daniel Cormier or with John Jones. And everybody in the room was saying, like, this is the most awkward interview ever. John, just stand up so we don't have to have Joe Rogan, you know, his crotch, you know, kind of in camera because he's trying to get the interview. weird start there. And then, of course, Joe Rogan, who breaks his own rule, and it was so confusing because, first of all, it was very, very embarrassing for Daniel Cormier, in my opinion. I mean, he was very heartfelt, but there was no reason for us to even see that. It was kind of like the same thing when they had that secret camera and Jose Aldo's locker room when he lost to Connor and they showed him crying. It was kind of the same thing. For me, I was kind of very uncomfortable because of all of the stuff that we had seen before. And then this interview where, yeah, you know what, Daniel Cormier, you're never going to fight John Jones again. No matter what you do, you've lost twice to him. You know, where do you go from here? Do you continue on fighting? Do you go to heavyweight? Do you just take on a broadcasting career? Very, very weird. And then after that happens, Joe Rogan and the commentary team are having a conversation about what just happened. And Joe Rogan says, yeah, I made a mistake. I broke my own rule, yada, yada, yada. It was very strange, Tony, very strange indeed.
But you know what? That's not the first time he's done that because he kind of did that too with Alistair Overeem, right? Versus Miocic. He actually did. I mean, he said, well, let's look at the replay. no need to go into the replay, right? It's like, you know, the guy has head trauma.
Yeah. And I think that's, but he had to do that because Alistar said that, and that was clearly not happening. That we all saw it, but he had to play it for Alistar. And I think what happened, the same thing happened when Dana White was explaining, you know, the whole drama with Cormier. And he said, as soon as Cormier saw it on the video, he shut up, right? They don't know. They're just concussed. And yes, that shouldn't happen. Cormier did not need to be interviewed at all.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when you're a fan of someone. It's even tough just to see it as a human being, seeing anyone that's been concussed, because I've certainly have been concussed a couple of times. So it's pretty frightening. Either way, it's a pretty frightening thing. Let's go into this, because we sort of went into it and we went back out of it, but let's get into it. I mean, Daniel Cormier, someone that only has two defeats in his entire career, and they're both John Jones. And unfortunately, unless John Jones does something to himself, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to continue to win unless he chooses to ruin his career. What does that mean for DC? Because I'll tell you, I have a few ideas. First and foremost, in the 185, which I don't think he can make ever, and frankly, neither can I, as I weigh 198, but listen, in the 185, you have Luke Rockhold, who to me should be a light heavyweight. And then you have DC, who has fought heavyweight, but guess what? Cain Velasquez is a heavyweight for AKA. What's next for DC? What do you see for DC?
I think if he's not going to put the amount of commitment to his diet that we see him doing for this particular fight, Tony, I believe that if he does want to continue to fight, as I mentioned earlier on, the smartest fight or the smartest thing to do is for him to fight at heavyweight. Go back up to heavyweight if you want to eat Popeyes and not worry about, and we said this on Wednesday too, and I hate to repeat ourselves, Tony, but if you want to continue to eat the way that you want to eat, move up to heavyweight. Cain Velasquez is really not a player in the heavyweight division anymore. He's just so injured. And Aaron Bronson of TSN fame on Twitter mentioned this earlier today. I mean, he's not in the picture anymore. Cain just isn't. He's just not in the picture anymore. He cannot stay healthy. His body is falling apart or failing him. I mean, his mind is there. He's probably still one of the greatest heavyweights of all time, but you know, he's just taking too much damage. With another example, Tony, of how we see wrestling or wrestlers that have devoted their lives to wrestling, cutting weight, you know, doing the things that wrestlers do, and it just, the body can't keep up. And I would love to see Daniel Cormier go up to heavyweight and test himself up there. Unless I really did enjoy this Daniel Cormier, though. I mean, if we can see this Daniel Cormier moving forward, I mean, God, he could get back to John Jones. He could. If that guy continues to be that guy, he could get back to John Jones. I would definitely pay for a third fight or trilogy fight against John Jones if that guy shows up every time. If not, heavyweight's the way to play.
All right, can I say something that's ridiculous?
Sure, absolutely.
I think the only person that I think that is as athletic as John Jones and maybe as cocky as John Jones, and you're gonna laugh when I say this, I'm telling you right now, but it's Luke Rockhold. I think Luke Rockhold, a healthy Luke Rockhold, and nobody knows where his knees are today, you know, et cetera, or where his head is, right? Because talk about someone that's not even in the picture. But Luke Rockhold is 6'3". And I think he struggles to make 185, even at his weight.
Of course he does.
I mean, because he's always in great shape. He's a southpaw. I think his style is very reminiscent, believe it or not, of John Jones. Or let's just say John Jones-like, because there's only one John Jones. I'd like to see that fight, and he's not even in the picture.
No, I'd love to see that fight, too. Listen, we've talked about this numerous times on this show, and I'm going to get fired up again, Tony. That's your fault. You keep doing this. And keep firing me up. The new weight classes that had been put out by the ABC ABC? Am I saying that right? No, I'm probably not. American Boxing Commission. Yeah,
ABA, isn't it? American Boxing, right? Or ABC, is it?
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about right now, Tony. I'm sorry, I'm fired up, and the facts are not there. The new weight classes that have been announced and approved by them, you know what I mean? Okay, ABA. Thank you. They're great. I mean, we need to have these transitional weight classes come into being. I would love to see Luke Rockhold fight light heavyweight, but of course, Daniel Cormier is there. So his teammate is there. He can't do it. He has to fight middleweight. No, let's have these guys fight at their appropriate weights. If they don't fit into the box that we have right now, create a new box. Like we said earlier on this week, Tony, create 175 for those guys who don't fit into the box that we stay in right now. They can't make 170. They're too small for 185. They're going to be perfect for 175. And nothing fires me up more than when Dana just says no. You know what I mean? Somebody asked him about this at the post-fight press conference and straight up says no. God, Dana White, stop saying that, because you know what? You said you wouldn't have women's MMA. Now you have three fucking divisions. You said you wouldn't bring in testing. You got USADA all up your fighter's ass. Anyways, let's stop. Move on, Tony. You know where I'm going with this. They fight more healthy weight and fought in divisions, and we open up the divisions for them. As we have seen, and as Cyborg said at the press conference, these divisions will fill up. They just will. Those people who have that can't fit into 120 or 115 will go to 125 in the female division. You know, the men that can't make 170 but are too small for 185 will go to 175. It'll all be okay, Dana White. Just accept it. We know you're losing your hearing. Just accept it. Thank you.
I don't know if I want. I think we all want to see good fights, though. I mean, I think Ariel told us.
I think we do.
Once before that, we all want to see good fights.
Golly, this is so great. Let's watch some fights.
That's right, Ariel.
That drop.
Let's watch some fights. And you know who I didn't get to see? I didn't see enough of Joanna Champion. Did you?
Shut your mouth.
Thank you. All right. She told me to shut my mouth. All right, let's get out of here. But as we leave, let's get out on this, though, Proteus. So I still want a more definitive answer from you on this. Let's paint the picture for what it is. DC is 38 years old, all right? And certainly doesn't look 38. I still think he has a lot of fight left. But you know what he has left that's even better is his brain. This guy is a very intelligent guy, great in broadcasting. I think clearly has a future in broadcasting, as he's shown, right? I mean, clearly, right? I think he's fantastic. And I'm a DC fan, but do you really think that his future is to continue fighting? Because if I'm DC, maybe I give myself a year, right, to see what happens with John Jones. Seriously, you think I'm joking, but I'm not.
Sure.
Maybe I give myself a year, maybe a year and a half to see what happens with John Jones. But in my eyes, Pro, I think he should just shut it down. But you say you want to see him continue to fight and be in the heavyweight division. Is that what I'm hearing?
No. I think what you're saying is makes absolute sense. He has a career, a budding career. We're going to need these guys to be in, not only on the booth, because Rogan, I don't know, Rogan, this particular show, he's on a tour. He's got his own podcast. Just a lot of the things that were happening on the broadcast booth with Rogan, this particular fight card, just kind of led me to believe that Rogan is checked out. I don't think that Rogan wants to do that anymore.
Yeah, one foot out the door, right?
I think he is. So, yes, you're going to need the Daniel Cormiers. You're going to need, The Brian Stans, you're going to need these guys to fill in. So this is the new market. This is the new guys that are coming in. And the more that Daniel Cormier can focus on his analysis or his time in the booth, I think that's where he is at his age, Tony, as you said. That's what he should be going for. However, as I said, if he wants to continue to fight, and we know these guys have that competitive nature and they want to just continue on as long as possible, the thing to do for Daniel Cormier is go up to heavyweight, get one win, and then fight the heavyweight champion of the world, because that's all you need in the heavyweight division to get a title shot. Just saying.
There are some beasts there, though. I mean, I don't know.
He's done it before, right? He's proven he can do it.
Yeah, he
has. He won a fucking tournament in Strikeforce. Exactly. So,
yeah.
Hey, if he wants to fight, I think heavyweight's the way to play, unless he wants to be focused and have that non-dad bod.
Speaking of non-dad bods, let's talk about myself for a second, joking. All right, so rather dad bods, never mind. But honestly, we forget these things because we've seen DC in the 205 with the UFC, right? But let's not forget, DC beat Roy Nelson, beat Frank Mir, beat Josh Barnett, beat a Bigfoot Silva. Wow. We forget those things.
Those were the stars of the time when he beat them, too. Those were the stars of the time when he beat them, Tony. So, hey, have you waited up, buddy?
Yeah, wow. I guess that's what my wife says as I'm stuffing an Uncrustable in my mouth. All right, Proteus, let's get out of here. But before we get out of here, I do want to say this. First off, Proteus and I just want to say we're very proud to be members of the MMAJA. We had our first meeting on Friday night, and we just want to say we created this to be as fans and to have our voice heard as people that were inspired by Gorgeous George and Goes and MMA Junkie and Dan Stupp and all the great journalists that are out there, Ariel Helwani, Luke Thomas, especially for Proteus, you name it. But we just want to say John Morgan, absolutely. And Francis Show, John Morgan, Francis Show, Cold Coffee, right? Ben Folks, right? Big, big name in that. Josh Gross, you name it. We just want to say we're very, very proud of what we've created. We hope to continue to give you that content. And we're very proud, Proteus, as well. And we never bring this up. I said this to Proteus in conversation a few times, but we never bring up that we are one of the very few, if not the only, minority-owned MMA entity out there. And we're very proud of that. We're very proud that we are people that have just created this out of the love for the sport. And we're not perfect. We obviously have biases just like everybody else, but we're trying. As Jules would say, we're trying real hard, Ringo.
But I'm trying, Ringo. I'm trying real hard. Be the shepherd.
So anyway, we just want to say Proteus tonight. Proteus, I'll give the floor to you. I don't know if you want to bring that up or anything about that.
Absolutely. No, I think that the people who listen to our show because we are what we are. We're not, perfect. We're not produced by the biggest names in the sport. No, we are unique, like you just said, and we have a lot of people who are taking a lot of ideas that we have and things that we do on our shows and using them. And that's flattering. And I appreciate that very much. I love being here and being able to speak MMA and in getting it off my chest on a weekly basis. We went from one show to two shows and now we're doing three, four shows a week. It's great. And we are just regular guys. We've trying to fit this in. When we have non-family time, my family's out of the house and Tony was like, okay, I'm home, we want to do the show real quick. And yeah, we put it together. So that's what we are, and we appreciate y'all listening and supporting. It feels really good. It does. It feels great to have people that are interested in what you're saying. And like Lerone says, we are speaking the truth. We are saying things that are relevant. We do know what we're talking about in the sport, and that I think people know that and they see that and they appreciate it. So thank everybody that's listening, and we appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Well said, Proteus. Before we get out of here, let's say this. Obviously, I try to do the MMA minute when time permits, but as Proteus and I always say, or Proteus says, life gets in the way sometimes. So I forgive me, guys. I'll try to be a little bit more consistent, but sometimes there just isn't enough news, and it takes me, honestly, at least a half an hour to do the MMA minute. Not kidding. It really takes that long just to surface the
sometimes
information.
Sometimes Proteus does the show. Sometimes Proteus
yeah, there you
show
go.
That you're not expecting, and you've got to edit that. Yes, thank you, Tony, very much. You worked very hard on the show. All these edits, everything that you guys hear, Tony puts through. So thank Tony very much. You put a lot of hours into this, brother.
Thank you, Proteus, including a super loud cat, as I heard a couple of times. So I thought that was funny. I'm sorry. I kept it laughing. All right, guys. So when we can, of course, the MMA Minute on Wednesdays. The very popular Smack My Picks Up with Marco from Waco, the beautiful Pam, and of course Proteus and myself. Listen, any previous hosts that we have, they're still part of our family, and we still try to get them all in. We hope to get Lerone back in, and some of the other Showtime, et cetera. So we hope to get everyone that we can back in. You know, sometimes life gets in the way, guys, and just so that you guys know, they're all part of our family. Wednesdays, of course, Smack My Picks Up. Thursdays or Fridays, of course, Proteus is prime time. On Sundays, unless we change it, guys, we'll be This Week in MMA. Looking forward, Proteus, as we go quickly. Look, I'm really looking forward to this one, Proteus. You might think I'm crazy, and we're certainly not going to do any picks, but just to chat about it real quick, UFC Fight Night, Pettis versus Moreno. And I'm telling you right now, Josh, get ready, because it's coming. Chasm, get ready, because it's coming. Hate to say it, but where's the music? Where's the music, Proteus? Well, that didn't go well. But edit. All right. But guys, no shame in that game. Buffalo Blue, I'm saying it. Alexa Grasso meeting Proteus's yep. favorite and John Hannock's favorite, Ronda Marcos. There you go, right on cue. Marco. How about that? Yeah. For the lovely Pam, Alan Jobon. How about that, right?
Happy about that.
And of course, Sergio Pettis. Well, no need to play the music for that. Hold on. We messed up that one. Hang on. Okay, so the music stops on Randa Marcos and Alexa Grasso. Just
that's right.
FYI, right? But Sergio Pettis, of course, meeting the very popular Brandon Moreno junkie favorite. This is going to be a good card, so we're looking forward to covering that. Anything else we got, Proteus, before we get the heck out of here?
No, run the music.
All right, so let's do our very popular Twitter follow of the week. My Twitter follow of the week, Proteus, I'm going to say it right now just because I just looked at her photo. Shout out to Alexa Grasso. You know what? We should do a show in Spanish. Not joking. My Portuguese isn't up to par. Otherwise, I'd do a show in Portuguese. But shout out to Alexa Grasso. So we follow her at Alexa_Grasso, I believe is what it is. Let me double check that. No, forgive me. Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso. Shout out to Alexa Grasso. Proteus, we throw to you. Twitter follow of the week.
Yeah, my Twitter follow of the week is at itchasm, at itchasim. Congratulations, buddy, on winning your parlay last night. Josh turned to me in the middle of the night and said, Chasm hit his parlay. I said, congratulations, Chasm. So follow him. He actually does very, very good picks. So if he ever puts the note on Twitter, you better get on that.
He's supposed to get on our show to do the pick show. I need to jump on him on that. So, yeah, shout out to Chasm.
Well,
I love him.
Hey,
all right.
Whoa, don't jump on him. Don't jump on him. That sounded a little bit rough.
No, in a good way. No meaning in a good way. Meaning we want him on the show. We want his input. I think he's very smart. So, Proteus says we're running on fumes. Let's do a few more things. Listen, one thing that we want to say that we're really proud of, I just heard on Fighter and the Kid, they just had their 1 billionth download. 1 billionth download. I don't know how many downloads we have in total, but I'm pretty sure we're up to 5 downloads right now. So, shout out to us for our 5th download has cold coffee up, and John Morgan likes to say our mothers listen to the show, so shout out to them. Crickets? All right, never mind. We'll get out of that quickly. All right, so honestly, 1 billion downloads for Fighter and the Kid, Cody.
Yeah, they're cashing in, bud.
Yeah, I know how impressed you are. All right, Brodius, let's get the heck out of here. Brodius, as always, the yin to my yang. Follow him at PROADOS. Follow me at I'm DJ Tony. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow Pam at PamDoraBox XX. Follow Chasm at It's Chasm, QASIM. Follow, of course, Marco at Meldo Marco. Do we forget anything? Follow all of us. Proteus, let's get out of here. Proteus. I'm going to let it run out to the end, bro.
Sure, absolutely. I love this song.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Yeah, you've never seen the movie.
I know. Sad.
Let's get out of here, bro.
I know, right?